Welcome to another award-winning edition of Prep Sports Now. Award-winning, at least in our own mind. It's kind of hard not to be after the slate of games we had last week. A bunch of good games. Actually didn't turn out as close as we thought, but still meant a lot. Let's start right out with Las Vegas and Canyon Springs. I was on the Canyon Springs bandwagon, thought it would be closer than it was. Turns out you were right.
I don't want to toot my own horn here, Kiefer, but yeah, I was 3-0 in the marquee games. It's cream rises to the crop toward the end of the year, but in all honesty, Vegas showed that they have the speed, athleticism, good defense to be a legit player in town, not just in the Sunrise region, which they've won 6 out of the last 7 years. But I really think if you put them on the field at the end of the year against that team everybody knows is going to be there, Bishop Gorman, I really think that Vegas' speed puts them in the game. If they could control the clock, and I know I'm looking way too far ahead, dude, but if they could control the clock, maybe take advantage of Gorman having young players at some good positions, granted, really, really super good young, going to go to college players, I think Vegas might have a chance. They played great in their biggest game. I'm telling you, Case, I'm real high on this Vegas team. They look good. Hassan Henderson is the man. He is the hombre. He looked great against Canyon Springs. He could run. He could pass. He's got that big body. And if he continues to grasp the offense, they're legit. My humble opinion.
Already breaking down the Gorman matchup, that is looking kind of far ahead. So are we just giving them a W against Liberty if they play them? Is that what we're hearing here?
Now, you know my love for the Patriots of Liberty, but we all knew that Liberty is real big and physical, and they're going to beat you between the tackles. But do they have, especially with Ty Bird, if he's not back and healthy, do they have the guy who's going to contain that track speed for Vegas? That's what I'm worried about. If Vegas calls a bunch of plays between the tackles, give me Liberty and take it to the bank. But I would like to think that Vegas is smart enough to maybe get the ball on the outside of those guys who run real fast.
Should be interesting, but that's still a ways down.
Still a ways down. Let me tell you how bad, though, I think Canyon Springs has turned out to be. I think Canyon Springs, like I said last week, is a year away. I think their freshman team is legit. One of the best freshman teams we've probably seen. But they are just so young. And they, when I watched them play Del Sol, they were just dominated up front. Absolutely dominated up front. And that's why, and I don't want to get ahead in the show, I'm picking DP, the Jags, to upset Canyon Springs because Desert Pines is legit up front. And I know you're on that DJ Pumphrey kid, right? You've been on so many kids this year who have disappointed. Look what happened.
I mean, we don't want to provide spoilers here, but I can say there might be a disagreement when we look ahead in the show to that Canyon Springs. But while you said you weren't trying to toot your own horn. You were 3-0 in the marquee games last week. What I will say is I guaranteed there would be an upset in one of the marquee games, except I just was looking at the wrong one. Vegas won, Liberty won, Desert Oasis, though. I thought it was stunning against Durango. Not that they won, but the way they won, big score, really looked great. I was at the game really impressed with Desert Oasis. They run their system so well. The Brandon Andrews kid had a huge game, obviously. Were you surprised to see the score the way it was?
I was surprised to see the score. I think a lot of times when you line teams up and you say, wow, this team is significantly bigger than that team, you just tend to go with the bigger team. And when you line Durango's huge, monstrous front line up against Desert Oasis, a smaller line, you initially thought, okay, hey, Durango's going to win this game. But I told everybody since like week 3 or 4 that I thought Desert Oasis was the second best team in the Southwest. I wasn't going to waver on my pick even though I wanted to, and I'm glad they proved me right. I think what Desert Oasis did, and even what I saw when they lost to Gorman by 50 points when they were competitive there in the first quarter, Desert Oasis is really, well, I don't know the word. They're organized, they're structured on offense. You know, they're players. It's 11 undersized players all doing their share to move the ball forward. And I think, at least judging by your story, that's kind of what happened against Durango. We didn't know this. You know, the kid was going to burst on the scene and have the game that he did. But I think overall, in the grand scheme of things, I think Desert Oasis executed its game plan significantly better than Durango wanted to. And I think maybe Durango might have overlooked Desert Oasis a little bit.
Yeah, Coach Mackey mentioned that. And look, I think the better team won. I think Desert Oasis was the better team. But that being said, Desert Oasis played their best game of the year. I think they would all agree. And Durango did not play one of their better games of the year. It's a game of two pretty evenly matched teams. Desert Oasis slightly better, got the win. One last note about Desert Oasis that I really want to mention is this team's so young. These guys are all sophomores and juniors. You look at some of the teams that are making noise in Vegas this year, and their older kids, the kids that have been building towards this. But if you want to talk about building a program, doesn't Desert Oasis have a shot to kind of be a power? They got young kids. They run that system. If they can filter kids into that, I really think there's a future out there.
Yeah, and it's only a third-year school. I will say the one thing that Desert Oasis needs to do is they need to get some, like, bigger, more athletic players. I know part of that is because they're underclassmen, but in that league, you always got to compare somebody to Gorman, and Gorman did beat them 56-6. And what stood out for me in that game was the Desert Oasis kids didn't seem all too bothered about it. And it's kind of like a lot of teams think that they're just, oh, we play Gorman, well, we're going to lose. Let's just go out there. Hopefully we could play Gorman at their field so we could play on the turf. And let's just, you know, see if maybe I can make a big play against a kid going to USC. And I think when Durango plays them in 2 weeks, they're going to have Durango's got 2 weeks to prepare for Gorman. Now, we know Gorman's going to win, but I think Durango, if they win the game, as bad as they looked against Desert Oasis, there'd be a three-way tie for first in that league. And I'm not saying Durango's going to beat Gorman because nobody's going to beat Gorman, but I think I think Durango thinks that they could compete with Gorman. It's all a mental thing. I mean, I don't want to sit you down on my sofa and tell you the psychology of football, but I guarantee you nobody wants to take fourth in the Northwest because nobody wants to play Gorman in the first round of the playoffs. I guarantee you that Vegas is still highly thought of in the Sunrise region, that nobody wants to take fourth over here to play him in the first round.
You have a good point. I'm going to have a Donovan McNabb moment when he didn't know that there was a – that there could be a tie in the NFL. I don't know what happens if there's a three-way tie. How do they break that? Not that it's going to happen, but do you even know?
It's like points scored, points against. I know a
some
lot
kind
of
point differential.
Point differential. Like. I hate to always complain about the school system, and I do this selectively, but I think the way the standings are decided in Nevada is below average. The NIAA, which is the governing body of high school sports, employs a news gathering organization as its official standings provider. So that means everybody, other media outlets, other schools, have to wait for this news organization to compile the standings. So on Friday night, we're going to be waiting to see who's in the playoffs for a news gathering organization to figure out the tiebreakers. Thankfully, the guy who heads that up is really bright and intelligent and has been doing it for a long time, and he always does a good job. But if that guy wasn't there, I'd be like, can we get a recount? Could somebody official do that? But that's how it is in Nevada, our great state.
There you have the reason we got off on this, though. Bottom line, Desert Oasis, good team. Think they have a real shot at winning a playoff game. Let's get on to last week's last marquee game, Liberty and Foothill. You were there. I tried to be bold. I tried to make myself look good taking Foothill. Didn't work out.
Listen, Foothill's a lot better than that final score indicated. They just gift-wrapped the game for Liberty. Three turnovers on first down plays in the first half. And then as the game wore on, Liberty's size just took over. And it was men against boys up front. Literally, my long-haired Polynesian brothers were taking the Foothill players and moving them back about 3 or 4 yards on every play late in the game. Liberty case starts the second half with like a 16-play drive that took 9 minutes off the clock. They ran the Nico Capelli kid 11 times during the drive. It was up the gut, through the tackle, 3 yards, 4 yards, just when Foothill thought they'd have him. First down, move the sticks, baby. Let's do it all over again. And it's exactly how Liberty is going to have to win games. They're going to have to control the clock, wind the clock, wear people down with that size up front. And the defense just had a great day. The Riggin kid was picked off a few times. There were some fumbles. Nobody has answers for Sam Tai. He, like, jumps over kids, around kids, crushes kids. He's got to be triple teamed, and it just frees up the other guys to make plays. And the one thing that stood out for me is just when you I walked into the game. Have you ever seen Liberty's all-black uniforms?
I have not.
Oh, my God. They look great, bro. I mean, this is like I got a theory that any team that wears white pants is going to lose. Just a humble theory. I don't know what it is, but they just don't look tough in white pants. And Foothill had on white pants and white tops, and Liberty comes out in this all like black with red, names on the back of their jerseys, and those kids looked that much nastier and bigger and tougher in the black. Guys, Case has got on a black sweater right now, and he looks the same way. But it's just these Liberty guys, dude, looked huge. Black jerseys, black pants, Haka dance before. I know I say that 1,000 times. And, God, the one thing, and I hate to get off on these tangents, you've covered a game at Liberty before.
A couple.
Do they ever get the barbecue going when you're there?
I think I've smelt it. I don't know if I've ever seen it, though.
I'm like, I cannot focus on the game because...
The smell.
The smell. I keep telling our photographer, Justin, I'm like, dude, we got to go get a hamburger here at halftime. I walk over there. It's some kind of like Hawaiian steak they're chopping up. And I'm just like, I got to search for now a Hawaiian steakhouse to get this settled because it just was great food. It was a great night. First league championship for Liberty. Hopefully for them, this is not going to define their season. Maybe they go further like we predicted at the beginning of the year. You know my theory on white pants. I know you're 0-2 lifetime in white pants, right?
I'm trying to gather my thoughts now. I had about five things I wanted to add during your 10-minute soliloquy there. But, yeah, white pants. When Brewer told me this, it really made sense to me because it brought me back to my high school days. Twice we wore all white, from head to toe all white. Both times we lost, and I was on a good team, I think. We only lost 8 or 9 games the whole 4 years I was in high school, and 2 of them when we were in all white. So I think there might be something to that. God, I'm trying to think of what else I wanted to add. Oh, one more thing. You talk about the drive that really you think demoralized them when they handed it to Nico Capelli 11 times. I really think that's the strength of this Liberty team. It reminds me of a drive they had somewhat similar in that basic game when it was still close before it got out of hand. I think they're only up 1, and they literally ran like a fullback dive 8 plays in a row, and there's nothing you can do. It just falls forward and gets 4 yards. I think that's a real strength of Liberty. They can control the clock. They can do that, which some other teams can't.
And Nico Capelli, for being a sophomore, has got the greatest mustache. Kid's got more facial hair than any sophomore in Las Vegas, guarantee you.
I haven't talked to him. Now I'm gonna have to go. I'm gonna have to go meet Nico so I can see that.
If you want to hear white pants, Chi-Town comes out in white pants, white tops against Palo Verde, running clock in the first quarter virtually.
Can we get any confirmation if they were wearing white against Shadow Ridge a couple weeks ago?
I'm not sure, but folks, when you pick out your uniform combos, if you got to go with the white pants, I know it's a real good white pant combo. Go with a darker top because the white on white is this year, I think, 0-12. I'm almost positive. I think Shap wears white on white every week. They've lost 18 in a row. So if you got white on white in the ensemble,
throw it out.
Hate to turn this into a fashion hour, but we're giving you keys to victory here.
Right. Last week of the regular season, as far as every division, and we're in a playoff race in most of them, the Southeast, Northwest, and Northeast. Playoff spot still up for grabs in all those leagues. What do you think? What games are you looking at this week to decide some of those spots?
Well, I like in the Southeast how, you know, Basic is super mad at Del Sol for beating them twice last year by a combined 3 points. And now they're like, got to root for Del Sol to beat Silverado. Basic closes its season Thursday against Green Valley and Henderson Bowl. They need to beat Green Valley, and they need Del Sol to beat Silverado to make the playoffs. Fun times.
The thing I keep coming back to, and I even wrote it in my picks, is just think all Basic had to do was beat Coronado, and they wouldn't be in this situation. How do you lose to Coronado? We just have to keep going back to that. I can't fathom it.
Yeah, tough cross to bear, and it proves it on any given Friday or Thursday night here in town. Anything could happen. In the Northeast, a real interesting thing is Vegas is locked up the 1, and Canyon and DP are playing for the 2. DP has to win this game because if they get the 3, that means they play at Foothill the first week. Foothill hammered them into the ground already this year by like 40 points. They know if they don't win this game, their season's essentially over. I think that's a real interesting look, and I know Foothill – it's got to be rooting for Canyon because they don't want to play Canyon in the first round either. Canyon's real athletic. That could be a formula for disaster. So real interesting there. And then the fourth spot in the Northeast, you got Rancho, Valley, L-Dog. If Valley beats Rancho, which is very possible, Rancho, Valley, and L-Dog would each have 3 wins in the league. L-Dog could still get the 4th seed if they beat Vegas. Not going to happen. So now you got a great tiebreaker, 3 teams. You know, you got to examine their record against each other, which, you know, could tie out. You know, you got to examine, you know, record against teams higher in the league, which is going to tie out. It's going to come down to points and, you know, and who knows. So real interesting in the Northeast, folks. We'll try to get the playoff matchups for you, obviously. And then the Sunset region with the Southwest and the Northwest, still 2 weeks of games because they're a week behind. The Northwest, you know Arbor's in, you know Palo's in. Then you got Centennial, Chi-Town, Shadow, Legacy, all fighting for that those last 2 spots. I guess if Chi-Town wins out, they're in. You know, Centennial plays great defense. They beat Legacy by stopping a 2-point conversion in overtime. So, again, nobody wants the 4 because nobody wants to play Gorman.
Centennial's pretty much in the 3 right now. All they have to do is hang on. Don't have their schedule in front of me, but I know
Cheyenne
right now.
This weekend.
Yeah, but Centennial in good position. Looks like they might get the 3. Cheyenne, of course, controls their own destiny. Well, let's cut to the chase. Let's get to this week's games. Thursday is a special day this week, not only because it's one of my favorite bands in the world, but because it's high school football night. All the games on Thursday.
There's a band actually called...
called Thursday.
Thursday?
Yeah, great band. I'm sure I'm one of my favorites for the last decade.
Do they sing Just a Romantic Monday? Have you heard that song? It's just a romantic Monday. Whoa.
No, I have not.
You haven't heard that song?
I don't think so.
Is Thursday they sing rock and roll?
I guess you could call it that.
It's like more heavy rock and roll?
I don't know about heavy.
Angry
it's
rock and
whiny.
Roll? Whiny rock and roll?
Kind of.
Is it something you'd play on a first date?
No.
Okay.
I don't know. Okay. we'll just get on. Okay. Maybe they'll be playing it at the Henderson Bowl as they get that underway. Green Valley at Basic. Basic has won at least 2 years in a row, I know. Do you see them doing it again with their lives on the line?
Well, here's the deal. Green Valley used to own this game. Every year, the Green Valley tailback would have a career day against Basic because they could not stop the run. Give credit to Jeff Cahill. He took over 2 years ago. This is his 3rd Henderson Bowl game. Has yet to lose to Green Valley. Probably not going to happen this week. Aaron Love, the talented tailback. Paul McKay, the talented quarterback, the quarterback who could throw the ball for Green Valley. Both knocked out against Silverado. Don't know if they'll play. Must win for Basic at Basic senior night. Basic's always cared more about the game than Green Valley, even though it's Green Valley's last game and they want to close with a win. And it's a rivalry game, and anything can happen in rivalry games. I got to like Basic.
But will it even matter? Because if Basic wins, they have to hope that Del Sol can beat Silverado to get in the playoffs. And I got to tell you, I think we're going to be different here. I'm taking Silverado. I don't know how you're not with the shirt you're wearing today. It's Silverado colors. It's a beautiful shirt, by the way. I wish I had it, but I think I like Silverado in this game.
Here's the deal. Silverado, I still think, has the most talent in that league, but Del Sol right now is running the ball with such great intensity. Their players are now conditioned to play both ways where they weren't at the beginning of the year. This Chris Marshall kid's getting 200 yards a game. Troy Miller's not so tired where he can't throw the ball, and Del Sol always just finds a way to win. I don't know how it happens. They micromanage the game. They control the clock. I like Del Sol. I'm glad we differ. It's unfortunate that Basic's going to win the Henderson Bowl on senior night, and the players are going to be disappointed because they're not going to make the playoffs.
Well, if they win and Silverado loses, they make it, right?
They do, but if Silverado wins you think.
Right.
It would be unfortunate.
In my scenario.
Yes.
All right, so you are taking Basic to make the playoffs, which I can't believe.
No, baby. I'm taking Basic to beat Green Valley. I am taking Basic to make the playoffs. Yes.
I'm saying Basic is not in. What a role reversal after all these weeks. Coronado at Foothill, the final Southeast game. What's Foothill need to do to bounce back? You got to assume they're going to win here.
Well, they got to figure out Connor Foe hurt the knee again last week against Liberty. He's obviously a key cog to that team. They're going to have to figure out how to play without him because even if he does come back, the knee won't be 100%. Foothill, it was their first last loss last week. They're still a great team. They got to get their swagger back. who better than Coronado? Smack Coronado around a little bit. Get your swagger back. Chances are you're gonna play a lot of meaningful games in the playoffs. Get ready for the athleticism of the Northeast, because you're going to have to face Vegas in the semis.
Another game we differ on now that we already mentioned, Desert Pines at Canyon Springs. You like the Jaguars.
I like the Jaguars. They're good up front. They're running the ball. They're on a little bit of a win streak, 4 or 5 games. Canyon Springs looked so bad last week, bro. And those kids are so young. Hunky Cooper's going to have to mentally get them ready to play. Not physically, mentally, because those kids know that they're not as good as Vegas. And I think DP's hot. And listen, Canyon struggled against L-Dog, struggled against Valley. I don't know if they were overlooking them. I don't know if those teams are better than we think. This Desert Pines team is better than L-Dog and Valley. They run the ball well. I still think running the ball is the key to victory.
There should be a lot of running the ball in this game. It's really both teams' strengths. Both have 2 or 3 guys that are capable of picking up some yards. I'm going to take Canyon Springs in a close game. I just think they probably have a little bit more talent. Next up in the Northeast, El Dorado at Las Vegas. Sun Devils really desperate. Going to have to get a win here to get into the playoffs, I believe. And that's kind of a hard thing to imagine.
Yeah, Vegas owns that league. They own El Dorado. I watched the L-Dog game on TV last Thursday. They win, they're in the playoffs. I wasn't happy with the way their players didn't seem like they could care that they lost. Give me Vegas. Not that I wouldn't pick Vegas anyway.
Usually not much to talk about in this game, but I think this might be your most exciting game of the week, because Chaparral is probably going to get a win. They're hosting Sunrise Mountain. Chaparral's got to be at least a touchdown favorite here, right?
I think they roll. Sunrise Mountain's not good. Donnie Davis, 2 years to get the first W, baby. But how many teams, Case, end the year with a win? Put it on the board. Yes.
Valley and Rancho, this is another big playoff game. You've actually mentioned you think it might be close with Valley. I'm not seeing it. I like Rancho big.
I like Rancho to win. I think it's going to be closer. I think Valley's a little better than everybody give him credit for. Anthony Sanders is a decent quarterback. Bottom line, Shamel David, Rancho, run the ball, win the game, get in the playoffs. Good luck with Liberty.
With DeShaun Martin, I think that Bishop Gorman's scoreless drought with their opponents ends this week. I think Bonanza gets in the end zone at least once, but not much more than that. What do you think? Can Gorman shut out another opponent?
It's been 17 quarters. Here's the thing is, I think Gorman could put up 100 if they wanted to against these guys. Now, they could put up 100 against a lot of guys, but you got to remember this Bonanza defense gives up like 55 points a game. They've given up 77, 75. Gorman, God bless him, he's going to have to start playing his kids longer into the games to get conditioned for the playoffs. DeShaun Martin's good. You know, the quarterback for Bonanza, your boy, the lefty, throws the ball well. They might put some points up. This is going to be interesting. Okay, DeShaun Martin's a legit D1 prospect, maybe one of the best players in the league. What's he do against Gorman?
We probably should have mentioned last week's game. What was it, 73-67 or something like that? Bonanza edged out Clark.
Yeah, and they had to score like 3 straight times in the fourth quarter to beat Clark, who I think is a lot better than people give him credit for.
Well, since we're talking about Clark, let's jump right into that game. Desert Oasis visiting Clark. Desert Oasis can't take, you know, these 6 days to celebrate their big win against Durango, because, like you said, Clark is dangerous and capable of pulling an upset. But I still like Desert Oasis here.
I do too.
That easy. Next, we'll go to Sierra Vista and Western. Well, I guess the upside is one of these teams is going to get a win.
And that's good. It's always – this, bro, these are two bad teams. And I give Western an edge by 1 point. I don't know why, but I just feel Western's going to win by 1 point.
I'll take Sierra Vista, I
guess.
Did
you really?
Well, I guess right now I just decided, give me Sierra Vista. Why not? Arborview at Faith Lutheran should be a little bit better game. Arborview still undefeated. Is it their last game before Palo, I believe?
Yeah, last game before Palo, and they've had a week off. Arborview runs the ball extremely well. Faith Lutheran is so bad up front. They cannot. They've got 3 great players. They throw the ball well. They're going to put points up on whomever. They just cannot stop a nosebleed. And if you would have asked me before the year who would win this game, I would have made Faith Lutheran a double-digit favorite, and I would have bet my house in the Del Sol zone on them. And now I can't – if Faith wins this game, I wouldn't be shocked. I still think they got – how do you lose with the Patero and Pearson kid? I mean, it just shows you how important running the ball is in high school football.
I wouldn't be shocked if they win either, but I have heard from a source being one of our commenters, that our review has a great secondary, so I guess that maybe they can shut down Faith Lutheran.
I don't care how good the secondary is. I mean, it's good. It's a flag football game, essentially, when Faith has the ball.
Well, there you go. Pretty big game, Centennial and Cheyenne. Cheyenne needs a win to get back in the thick of things, but for me, it's kind of tough to imagine. Centennial's just been so solid all year.
Solid, and they're real good at defensively. I think they've got a lot of – they're winning the close games. You know, stop a two-point conversion last week. You win this game, you're essentially in the playoffs. I take Centennial by 11 points, 29-18.
Spring Valley is back on track. Should easily have that four seed and the luxury of playing Palo Verde in the first round. Going to Pahrump this weekend.
Always a fun drive.
Yep, that's about it. Spring Valley, big. Legacy at Palo. Don't forget, Legacy knocked off Palo last year, undefeated regular season. But to say the least, this isn't the same team, and Palo should roll here.
I would agree with you. Legacy, injuries have hurt them all year. A younger team, definitely underachieved. I give them credit for going for two against Centennial, even though they came up just short. I still want to see LJ McMorris at his healthiest. I think he's dynamic. I think Palo's going to win big, though.
Look at Shadow Ridge. They need some help, but they are back in the playoff race in the Northwest somehow. They've won two in a row, probably as underdogs. I think we would both agree. This week, they're going to change roles a little bit. They'll be the favorite to beat Mojave. Do you see them getting a third straight win?
I see them getting a third straight win, but Mojave has gotten better and better each week. And if Shadow Ridge overlooks Mojave, then Papa G on the message board is going to be real silent. Would you agree with me?
There you go.
Okay.
But I don't think that's going to happen. I'll take Shadow Ridge. You're talking all about your Hawaiian barbecue. Well, I think you're going to be banned from every place over by Liberty after you make this next prediction. Who do you like in Liberty versus Cimarron? Let's give it. I'm going to sit back and let you go.
Here's the deal. This game, and I cannot believe I'm saying a high school football game means nothing. This game means absolutely nothing. Liberty at Cimarron. Liberty's already locked up the one seed. They've already locked up two home playoff games. Why get somebody hurt against Cimarron is my question. Why put Sam Ty out there four quarters against Cimarron when he's already been hurt this year? Why bring Ty Bird back when he's missed the last 4 weeks with a knee injury to play against a Cimarron team? You know, they're going to bring up some kids from the JV. They're going to see who could play for the playoffs. This is essentially a scrimmage. Give me Cimarron, baby.
But if it's so meaningless, it's meaningless to Cimarron, too. I mean, why are they going to be so motivated
Cimarron
to win this
game?
Cimarron
has more to prove. They've had a bad year. They're likely going to miss the postseason. Liberty's already in. They're already a comp. This is like, you know, Peyton Manning in week 17 of the NFL season playing Buffalo.
And they'd still probably win.
No, what happens every year? They don't play and they lose the Buffalo.
I don't see it.
The debate of who do you play? How long do you play? Do you want Sam Ty to get hurt chasing down Gerard Martinez?
I like Liberty, and I like him even more now with you saying they're going to lose. They're going to be so motivated just to go out and prove you wrong. We all know Liberty loves this show.
They listen, here's the deal. Liberty could care less if they win this game. If they beat Cimarron and then they lose the Rancho next week, who gives a crap?
All right, I know I'm not being bold, but I got to like Liberty here. I think that does it. I think that's all the games.
Don't say that. The game of the week. The game we've been waiting for.
Moapa Valley and Virgin Valley. So sorry I forgot. It's not on this sheet, but Moapa Valley, Virgin Valley, they're going to play 2 weeks in a row. Who do you like in the first version?
I just love how one of the state's most significant rivalries, you know, two neighboring towns, the biggest rivalry in the 3A means virtually nothing. It's like, well, let's not show them too much because next week we play and the winner of that game really gets to do some fun things, right?
Right.
Three-team 3A, three times the fun. I like Virgin. I think Virgin's a little better this year. The one thing I do think is that whoever is more aggressive up front, if I'm a lineman, I want to dominate the guy in front of me. I want him to know that I'm the man and that he's not the man, and I'm going to kick his butt this week and next week. And that's why I like Big Bad Virgin Valley.
I do. I'm really impressed with Virgin this year. Every week, I think they've only lost one game, maybe two. But they've played well every week. Moapa, though, just was so dominant last year against this team. I like Moapa. How interesting would it be if whoever wins goes back and loses next week in the game that matters? I don't know why, but that's kind of what I'm rooting for. That would be an interesting storyline.
It would be. The good news is that none of them have to play Durango's JV team this week like Boulder City. Boulder City's season's essentially over, but we're going to throw out the Durango's JV team to play you. Have fun. Congratulations. I hope you enjoyed your senior year.
Give me Boulder City in that one, and give me Moapa Valley. I'll go against Brewer. For sure, that is all the games. Thanks for listening.
I hate to cut you off. We ought to go to I wish this game was on a Friday so we could go to it. I'd love to go to, like, dinner one night in Overton.
Yeah, that would be great. We could listen to Thursday on the drive over there.
We could. Yes. Thursday. Okay. Not just a romantic Monday. He got me listening to the Deftones. Get you fired up in the morning.
There you go. Thanks for listening.